My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is wonderful that we're all here together again to worship this God that has redeemed us. I'm not feeling really great this morning. Last night I started feeling a little gross, and I called my dad and said, just in case, could you have a sermon ready? And isn't it great to be my dad? Yeah, anyway, so he is prepared, but I managed to scrape myself in here, and I think I'll make it through the service, but he's definitely covering Bible study afterward. You know those days when you don't know if you should be here, right? But today we're going to be talking a different kind of should we be here. You know, the question is, are we worthy? That's really what we need to be focused on this morning. And of course, we know the story. We know the answer to the question, right? Are we worthy? Well, how can it be both yes and no? I mean, come on, people. Let's get this right. Are we worthy, yes or no? Yes. Yes and no. And that's the answer, right? Because of ourselves, are we worthy? Have we lived up to God's law? Have we honored his expectations? Have we lived out the faith that God has put in us? And the answer is no. But are we worthy? We're worthy because of what Jesus did for us and the righteousness that he gives us. And so, guys, as his children and as the people who are worthy because of Christ's blood, let us stand and let us, as we begin our service, let's confess our faith or confess our sins. But let us first begin remembering the day that he made us his children, brought us into his faith and into his grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would bless this service today, Lord, that you are strong in our weakness, Lord. I pray that you would continue to work in me and through me. Give me words, Lord, for your people, that they may be blessed, that they may be grown in their faith, that they may be able to follow you, Lord, with all of their lives. And Lord, that they would always look to you for their worthiness. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let's confess our sins to our God and receive forgiveness because he is worthy. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. And upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we have been forgiven and found worthy in the sight of God Almighty because of what Jesus has done for us. And let us give praise to this God who is so good.
Declare shaken. My hope is in the Lord. Time after time, our God is faithful. Trustworthy Savior. My hope is in the Lord. Day after day, our God is reigning. He's never shaken.
Good morning. My name is Mike Kennedy. On behalf of St. Mark's, I'd like to welcome you if you're visitors and welcome to you all this morning. Our first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. You're all gifts here. Thank you. You're all a blessing to me and those around you. Tell somebody thank you. Thank God for you all. And we read, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all kinds of speech and with all kinds of knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Sermon reading for today comes from John chapter 1, verses 29 to 41. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one, the Messiah." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." This is God's word for us this morning. And now it is time for the children's message. And looks like Sherry Haas has the children's message for us this morning. Children, come on forward at this time.
Hi, guys. Come on up. I am happy to see everybody. Come on up and have a seat.
Hi.
Well, I am so excited to be here with you guys today. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about sharing. And I brought something today in my bag, which I'm really excited about. I had my grandkids visiting me recently, and they were at my house for about 2 weeks. And after they left, I couldn't believe it, but I found a bag of candy that they hadn't eaten. I couldn't believe it. And so when I found out that I was going to be with you guys today, I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring that bag of candy with me, and I'm going to share it, because sharing is so much fun, and I love to share, especially when it's something I love, and I love candy. Do you guys love candy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I brought it with me so I could share it with you, because it's fun to share something that you love, right? So you guys probably are told to share a lot, right? Do your moms tell you to share, your dads, with your brothers or sisters, or maybe at school? Like, what are some things that you share with others? What? Well, that's really nice. You share toys with each other to play. That makes it more fun, doesn't it, to have somebody to share with? What do you share? You share toys, too. That is very good. Anybody else have anything else? Like, if you play in sports, you might share a ball to kick around, right? Or like at school, maybe your teacher's going to say, hey, would you share your markers or your crayons with your neighbor? And you'll get your crayons and markers out and share, right? So that's really important. Sharing is really, really important. So let me ask you something else. Is there, like, somebody you can think of that you would be so excited to see if they walked in the room here at church? Like, maybe this could be somebody that you really like that's on TV, or a singer that you really like, someone famous, or maybe a sports person, like one of the Cardinals, if you like watching the Cardinals play. Can you guys think of anybody that you would be so excited to see? Who? Tom Brady. Okay, who else? You don't know, you can think about it. What do you think?
Goldschmidt.
Goldschmidt, okay. What about you?
Jamie.
Okay, I don't know who that is, but I believe it. That would be exciting. You don't know. Who is it?
The Grizzlies' best player.
The Grizzlies' best player. That's awesome. Okay, so if they walked in right now and you saw them and you got to go up and meet them, I bet you would be so excited that you would go tell everybody, right? You'd be like, you're not going to believe what happened today. You're not going to believe who I met. It was the best thing ever. And you'd go tell your friends, right? So anyway, thinking about that, Pastor Bob just read from the Bible about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. And he was so excited when he saw Jesus. He was like, look at that guy walking by. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Messiah. Like, that's who that guy is, everybody. He was sharing with everybody that was standing around. Like, look at him. This is so exciting. It's the best thing ever. And so everybody saw him, and some people started following him. Like Pastor Bob read, Andrew started following him. And Andrew went and met Jesus, and he's like, are you really the Messiah? Are you really God's son? And Jesus is like, yeah. Yep, I am. And so then Andrew was so excited that he went and told his brother, Simon Peter. And then Simon Peter came back and met Jesus. So all of these people were sharing how excited they were, just like you guys would be so excited to meet some sports player or whatever, right? But Jesus trumps all of that. Like, Jesus is God's son. So when Jesus came to earth to save us from our sins, he made us so that we could be part of his family. So that's the most important thing of all. So, you know, in the Bible, it says we're still supposed to share about Jesus to other people. Like, what are some ways you think you could do that? You can think of any way to share Jesus with somebody else and tell them who Jesus is? You could, one way you could do it is to be really kind and loving, and you'd be sharing Jesus' love with them. What do you think?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible. That is a great one. Maybe invite them to church. That would be another way, right? Or maybe if they're going through a really hard time, you could say a prayer for them. That would be a way to share Jesus' love, wouldn't it? So those are all really good ways. And so Jesus really wants us to do that and to tell other people all about him and how much he loves every one of us. So I'm going to say a prayer. If you guys will repeat after me, and then I'm going to share my candy that I brought, and you can take it back to your seats, okay? All right. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to the earth. Thank you that he died on the cross to save us. And thank you that we are part of his family. Please help us to share that news with everyone we meet. Amen.
Thank you, Sherry. And children, as you guys are heading back, you guys can, as long as it's okay with your parents, you can head to the cross in the center aisle. And Katie Norris has the children's little worship for us today. And thank you, Sherry. Well, 2,000 years, a little bit more than that, before today's text, Abraham was having a very, very bad day. In fact, probably the worst day of his life. God had blessed him profoundly throughout his life, as he had promised to do. Abraham had was wealthy. Not only did was he like wealthy in money, he had armies. He was surrounded by many people who followed him and served him. He was influential, well respected. The only thing he didn't have was a son. You know, God came to him once and Abraham said, "You know, thanks for all this, but my heir is a servant." And God told him, "You know what? You're going to have a son." And finally, that son came. And Abraham loved his son. All of his hopes and dreams were wrapped up in his son. He was the heir. He was the one who was the heir of the promise that God made to Abraham, that I will make you into a great nation, and through you all people will be blessed. And that promise was supposed to come through his son, Isaac. But all of a sudden, God did something really crazy. And he said, "Abraham, I want you to take..." He knew exactly what he was asking. He says, "I want you to take your son, the son that you love. And I want you to take him to the area of Moriah. And there on a mountaintop, I want you to sacrifice him to me." You know, I've read several stories, you know, fictionalized accounts of this, and one of them said Abraham was never the same after that. And I could imagine that he wouldn't be. I mean, can you imagine heading off to this mountain and on the way have your son turn to you and say, "Dad, I see we have fire and I see we have wood, but where is the lamb for the offering?" And Abraham responds to his son, "The Lord will provide the offering." And in his mind, he must have been thinking, "The Lord did provide the offering. He provided me a son in my old age. When it was impossible, the Lord fulfilled all of my dreams and desires and gave me a son, and now he is taking him back." And right when when they got to the place where the offering was to take place, Abraham and Isaac built an altar, and Abraham tied Isaac up and put him on the altar. And Abraham had his knife in his hand and was holding it up over Isaac, ready to kill his son, the son that he loved, when the Lord stopped him and provided him a sacrifice. A ram caught in the thicket. And the question is, why did God stop Abraham's hand? Well, of course, because he didn't want Isaac sacrificed, really. He was testing Abraham. But there's another reason, and that's that Isaac was not worthy to be the sacrifice. And to explain that a little bit more, I think we need to jump to Revelation. On Revelation chapter 4, John the Apostle John is swept up into heaven, and he's standing in the throne room of God. And he surrounds the and he's describing it in as much detail as human language can carry. And he says, you know, that there was 24 thrones around the throne, and the one was on the throne, but around the throne were 24 elders that were sitting on thrones and below the throne. And whenever the angels would begin to praise the one that was on the throne, the 24 elders would throw themselves on the ground and cast their crowns at the foot of the throne. And they would worship the one. And then in chapter 5, he says, then there was a scroll to the right of the throne. And that scroll, it was a scroll that was written on both sides and sealed with seven seals. This scroll is the salvation of mankind. It is the God's plan for redemption. It is the thing that God has been working to execute, to carry out for all time. And an angel stood, and in a loud voice said, "Who is worthy to open this scroll? Who is worthy to read the words? Who is worthy to see what is inside? Who is worthy to walk out this plan of salvation? Who is worthy?" And we know Isaac wasn't worthy. I mean, if Abraham wasn't worthy, Isaac wasn't worthy. And we know Abraham wasn't worthy. I mean, he did some pretty crazy stuff. I mean, he was God's man, and he did trust God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, but he was not worthy. And Isaac wasn't worthy. And in fact, in heaven, when the angel asked the question, "Who is worthy to open the scroll?" with all of the host of heaven surrounding the throne, with the 24 elders, with the saints, with everybody who was up there, the Bible tells us that none was found that was worthy. And John's seeing the salvation of mankind and the redemption of all creation standing there, but nobody being able to open it, wept, cried, sobbed, because nobody was worthy to open the scroll. But then an angel spoke to him and said, "Stop crying, because the Lion of Judah is worthy." And John looked over and he saw a lamb who looked like it had been slaughtered, a lamb that looked like it had already been sacrificed. And the lamb came forward and took the scroll, and all of heaven sang to the lamb and said, just listen to this, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. From every tribe and every language and people and nation, you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." And then the thousands and thousands sung, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And then he heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them say, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen." Jesus is worthy. He was worthy to open the scroll. He was worthy to read the plan of God. He was worthy to carry the plan out. He was, in all of heaven and earth, uniquely worthy. The God-man, God Almighty that existed before time began, the God who became flesh and lived among us, the Emmanuel, God with us, the one who came and taught us in human language, the one who carried our sorrows, all of our guilt to the cross, and there was killed in our place so that we could receive the righteousness that he lived out, he is worthy. He is so worthy that all of heaven and every creature that has ever been created and will ever live will one day sing praises to the God who is worthy. John the Baptist had a job to do. Unfortunately for him, in a way at least, it was a rather short job. His job was to prepare the way for Jesus and to bear testimony to the Lamb of God. And in today's text, he fulfills his mission. He had just witnessed the baptism of Jesus. I mean, he'd been the one baptizing Jesus, so you know he was there. And, you know, some pretty incredible stuff happened when Jesus was baptized. There was a voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and landed on Jesus and stayed with him. There was some pretty amazing stuff going on there. And what the Father had told John earlier is the one on whom you see the Holy Spirit descend and stay, that is the one. And so the next day, John starts proclaiming. He starts doing what he was come to do. He bears witness to the one, and he points to Jesus, and he says, "Look, that's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I don't think the people there really understood the profundity of what he was saying. I mean, think about it. The one that all of heaven will sing to for eternity, and that John announces his presence right there. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God." You know, they didn't understand it completely. They didn't see it completely. To them, Jesus looked awful human to be God. How do you get your head around all of that? Especially since, you know, Revelation wasn't written yet. So they didn't have the benefit of seeing everything we see today. But today we get all that and we understand what it means that he is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of all honor and glory and power and might and wealth and everything. He is worthy of, but he's also worthy of something else, isn't he? He's worthy to carry out this plan of salvation, which requires him to willingly sacrifice himself and die. But he did it. He did it because he loves us. He did it because his plan, this whole plan, was put forward so that we could be worthy. You know, that we could be good enough, that we could be right with God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And it goes all the way back to Abraham, right? Because in Romans, we're told that Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. That means that the righteousness of Christ was given to Abraham all the way back into the Old Testament, because that's the only place that righteousness can come from. The righteousness of Christ was given to Abraham, and Abraham was considered by God worthy of being his child, his man, to do his work in his world. God also makes us worthy of our calling. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 tells us this, that, you know, we have a calling. We've got a job to do in this world. We work for him. And the question is, well, how in the world are we going to be worthy of that job? Well, here we're going to be worthy of that job the same way Abraham was worthy of his, with the worthiness that Christ gives us. He makes us worthy. He makes us worthy. And the question is, worthy for what? Well, we are worthy for heaven, which is kind of a big deal, right? I mean, the idea that we actually know right now that because of what Jesus did for us and the faith that God gave us to believe in that, that we are actually sincerely and confidently knowing that when we die, we know where we will spend eternity. And that peace is incredible. That it's a peace that can't be taken from us because we It's all based on him. There's nothing we can do to mess that up because God has completed it. He did it. He finished it. And as we hear in Revelation over and over again, those who are firm until the end, those who do not lose their faith are certainly going to heaven. Isn't that an amazing thing? But we're also worthy of something else. In Acts chapter 5, the disciples, the apostles, are being arrested and thrown into prison. And when they were brought out and put on trial, they say, we can't stop preaching about Jesus, because that's what the officials wanted them to do, was stop talking about Jesus. They didn't like that they were saying that Jesus rose from the dead. That was just not something that they were okay with. But the disciples said, look, we can't stop, because this is what we were called to do. This is our job. This is what we do. And so they were beaten and they were threatened and they were released, told that if they do it again, things are going to be even worse. And the Bible says something absolutely bizarre. That he says this, it says, they rejoiced because they were found worthy to suffer for the name. You know what? If we're in Christ, if we wear his righteousness, if we have the white robes of forgiveness and grace, if we can stand before God as his people, we are worthy of salvation and at the same time worthy of doing his work in this world today. And this work in this world today is not always easy. It's not always going to be pleasant. It's not always going to be, how can I say, appreciated by everybody around us. But God has made us worthy to serve him, worthy to speak his name, worthy to speak his truth, worthy to speak his law, worthy to speak his grace. And if he makes us worthy, are we worthy? Now the only question is are we faithful? It's not a matter of whether or not you can. It's not about whether or not you are called to be his witness in this world. But it's a matter of, will we stand up and do it? Regardless of the cost, regardless of the pain, regardless of the end, that we would give our lives wholly to him because we are counted worthy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and we thank you that you have done so much for us, that you have made it possible for us to be in heaven, Lord, that we have the confidence of our salvation already here on earth, that we know that we know of your promise. We know that because you were worthy to be the sacrifice, Lord, we are worthy to receive the blessing of your sacrifice. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in us, convict us, help us, move us, Lord, to speak your truth, to be your witness. And bless those, Lord, to whom we witness. In your name we pray. Amen. My dear friends, it is now time to continue our worship service by collecting the offering. And as the offering is collected, also record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near you. And let us sing praise to this God who is worthy. Let us stand as we confess the faith that we have been taught by the one who is worthy, and let us confess our faith using the words of this, the meaning of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have made us worthy because you are worthy. Because you are worthy because you carried out the plan of the Father, that you were born, became flesh, lived among us, gave your life so that we can live. That you were raised from the dead, Lord, by the glory of the Father, so that we get a new life. Lord, it is an amazing thing that we are able to be in your presence. Not just to be in your presence, Lord, but to be received, accepted, anticipated in your presence as your own children. That we can call you Abba, Daddy, Lord, I pray that you would give us strength. Help us, Lord, to be able to remember, to be able to remember, Lord, what it means that you have made us worthy by your sacrifice as you welcome us in to the work of your salvation, and that we get to suffer, Lord, with you in carrying out your message. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we do your work in this world. Be with us at work, at home, with our neighbors, that you would give us opportunities to share this faith, to share the story, Lord, of your righteousness, of your worthiness, and the worthiness that you give to us. Help us, Lord, make us, Lord, effective witnesses of you. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we go through the difficulties of life. Lord, everybody here brings pain, whether it is stress and worry, whether it is, you know, concern for children, Lord, whether it is concern for ourselves, whether it is health problems, financial problems, whatever issues the world brings upon us, Lord, we know that we are not in this alone, but that you have promised to be with us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to remember, Lord, your presence, that we do not walk alone, but we or pretend that we walk alone, but that we remember always that you are with us to give us the strength that we need to get through each and every day. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to encourage one another with these words, that we would be actively, Lord, reminding each other of your presence and your intervention in our lives. And also, Lord, that we would always be able to keep in mind the day that we will be in your presence in heaven, when all of the pain of earth is left behind, and we will live as you created us to live in paradise. Thank you, Jesus, for all of this. Lord, we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I'm going to call my father to come forward to do Holy Communion with me, because I love you enough not to breathe on you today. And with that, I just want to remind you to please use the questions on the screens to examine yourselves, because this is truly God's body and blood. Whether we believe it or not, it is God's body and blood, which makes it profoundly powerful. And God tells us that if we receive this meal without being prepared, we can actually harm ourselves in doing so. And so I ask that you would use the questions printed on the screen to examine yourselves, that this meal may be received as the blessing God intends it to be. Please be seated.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world."
rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. 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 Worthy is your
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Now receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Sacrifice, keeper of this life, hallelujah.
All right. Well, today it's kind of strange. I feel like I'm announcing everything in the announcement part of the bulletin, but I'm just going to read it to you really, really quick. All the details are in here. Please read this thing. It's amazing how much information is here. Here we go. First of all, school open house is coming up. So if you guys know of anybody who has kids, anything infant through eighth grade, you guys can have them come to the open house. It's on Sunday, January 22nd. So that's this coming Sunday at noon to 1:30. And we can answer all their questions, give them tours, tell them what we're all about. We are currently looking for nominations for the associate pastor position here at St. Mark's. And so if anybody has anybody that you're aware of, we never know how the Spirit does this. So if you think, well, my word won't mean anything, you just don't know. All right. I mean, you just don't know. So go ahead and nominate. Now, of course, they have to be Lutheran Missouri Synod trained pastors, just so you're aware on that. Okay. Very good. Also, dying to donate at St. Louis Bread Company is on January 24th, and that's basically to support the school ministry fundraiser for that. And Open Gym. This is something I'm really excited about. Kathy Frazier, our school director, is doing a lot of amazing stuff, but one of them is this. She got a grant to pay for this, and she went out and bought a bunch of play stuff for the little tiny ones. And so during the winter, when that's really hard and you can't go to the park and you can't do anything else with these little tiny people, you can come and play here at St. Mark's. It's going to be every Tuesday night every Tuesday from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Is that right? That's what I'm reading, so I'm assuming it's right. My brain's not completely functioning right now, so, you know, give me a little mercy. But nevertheless, and basically, we have some soft play toys and stuff in the gym where they are actually able to get together and play. I think it's just an amazing thing. And it's not just for St. Mark's families. Or it's not just for St. Mark's school families. It's for anybody. So if you know somebody who's getting stir-crazy and needs to get their kids out of the house, you have a place to come. All right? With that, my friends, God's blessings on your week, and I will not be in the back to greet you today. I am going to run away right now. I've been taking deep breaths the whole service, and now I need to go home. So God's blessings. I love you all, and I will see you again.